not a long introduction for Mike. I felt like Mike should be up here because he's been up here all week. He's had an Indiana Jones hat on and a microphone. He's mumbling to himself. He's mumbling to the kids. I think Mike just about lives here, and I think this past week he just crawled out from the cave and then turned his mic on. But he gave his heart and soul for these last week, and so I asked him to come before we have communion just to share what's on his heart. And Mr. Spinello, come.
Well, in the years of doing VBS, we have come up with a phrase. There's tired, and there's VBS tired. And I think a lot of us know exactly what that means. VBS tired. It's a whole level, different level. You know, as Bill has shared and Kevin, this has been an amazing, incredible week. We have had that 100% participation. If you're hiding in that, well, I really haven't done much. You got one more shot today. We got to move all this stuff out to the curb. Okay? We're not done yet. When that last truck leaves at about 1:30, that's when it's over. But Crossroads is right around the corner, so they'll be coming here to pick stuff up. So after church, we'll be gently moving things out. But yeah, I think, you know, this week and every time we do this, I love seeing, and I remember, but then I also forget. I'm reminded every week at about Wednesday of the week, just seeing our community, everyone that's here, just work together. And, you know, it's really such a blessing to see that, because we have all these kids in here, people we don't know, and there are so many different levels of amazing things about this week. But I love that part. I love getting closer to our community and just seeing everyone leave it on the field. They say you can tell the life of a church by how long the people stay after the service. See, that's a good test of a life of a church, how long people stay after the service. And that, I think we're pretty good in that, this church. You know, I mean, I leave at 2 o'clock sometimes, 3, and I'm not the last one here. You know, there are people hanging out here. And what, as amazing as this church is, I really feel that we have life in this church. I think VBS is a huge injection of life, even more so. I really do. That's that, watching it, watching everyone work. It's just a life boost. And I don't think we really even needed it. You know, I really see that life boost that God blesses us with as a community, as the people working here and getting excited about it and saying, oh, sign me up for next year. We already have people volunteering for next year. So our church for 20 years or so went down to Mexico. And there's an orphanage down in Ensenada, and we would take our high school and young college and junior high. Raise your hand if you've been down there, been down to Mexico through this church. A lot of adults come down, and we've really helped construct this orphanage down in Moniadero, Mexico. We haven't done that since 2008, I think. You know, Aaron and I were talking. I think VBS is kind of our Mexico. Now, in a way, it's not the same thing, you know, but it has that life to it where the community is getting involved and being a part of it. And I foresee other Mexicos on the future. You know, our kids are getting older and we're already discussing possible mission trips, new traditions and new places to go. But right now, I think this week is kind of that, you know, it's that excitement where everyone's working together. People left it on the field, I would say, a football phrase. They left everything on the field here. People were working so hard. And I love the verse, nobody takes our life, nobody takes your life, but we freely lay it down. And that's what it was. Nobody's complaining. Nobody's doing this begrudgingly. People were here to serve and excited to be a part of it. So, and that's what I love about it. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for just everything you've done, donations, and it was just such an incredible, incredible week. And Aaron wants to share one thing. Yeah. from that happened this week at VBS?
Well, this week was so amazing, and I always see God in just pictures or in nature. I love to garden. I love to, like, touch the soil, and I just always, in Mexico, I was always in the grass, had a team planting grass, and I would just get these amazing pictures. I wanted to read to us out of Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. And it says, "The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him, and he got into a boat and sat in it. And while the people stood on shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seeds fell on good soil, and it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what it had sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear.'" And that's in Matthew 13. So I have a visual for us. So we have a garden at our church, and I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go out there, but Tony and Emmy helped plant this garden out there. And they man it, and they look at it, and they watch the soil, and they look for weeds, and they help protect the garden. Well, my class loves the garden, and almost every time I teach, we take a walk through the garden. And we look at how things have grown. We look, oh, is there any weeds coming up? What's the soil like? And I'm always passing on my love for pictures to them. And my class planted sunflowers, and they were so excited to do it. We talked about how God grows us, and he grows sunflowers, and we're going to do that. So I gave each person a seed, and we planted them. And then we watched them spring up, and then we put them in the soil. And every week we'd walk out and see, is it growing? Is it growing? And they'd go, look, I see it's coming up. And then last week, they were this big, and the kids were just so excited. And I noticed they started to tip. They were ready to be cut. So I went out, and I cut them. And I want to show you what I saw. So the center of the sunflower has all these seeds, probably 100. I didn't count them. But this all came from one seed. And now it produces more than we count. So if these seeds go and are planted, we can't even keep track of the seed. And someone gave me this word picture with an apple, and I saw it here with the flower. That is what we did this week. We scattered the seed. We scattered the seed. We used our gifts. We used our love. We shared God's word. And we have no idea where this seed is going to go and where it's going to spring up. So one seed can make multiples, 100. We don't know where they go. And they fall in this good soil that our kids come to church under this garden where they're able to grow and love. And it's a safe place. You know, it's a place where kids that even, you know, we had about 12 kids with special needs in our VBS, which were invited to come. We wanted them here, and they were under a garden where we saw their gifts grow. We even had a leader with cerebral palsy that was a leader, and I found a place for her because, seriously, we all have a gift, and we all have seeds to sow. So this is just a visual that we can think about that when we share what's happening. God always multiplies.
I'll just let her keep talking.
One of the things that I love that Kevin does every year on Christmas Eve is he goes through the entire Bible and he calls out all the names of Jesus, that he's in every book of the Bible. And he goes through each book and names who Jesus is in that book. So he is the Lamb of God. He is the Word of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There are so many titles and names for Jesus. One of the ones is he is the light of the world. And that was our tagline this year in VBS. It was Cave Quest, Following Jesus, the Light of the World. That Jesus is the light of the world. And I love this theme with the cave, that we would dim the lights and it would be dark. And, you know, just our world, you know, just comparing it and symbolizing our world and the dark world that we live in. And in the midst of that darkness, we have Jesus who shines his light. And he is that light of the world to give us hope. And you know, you can't help but watch the news today, and the darkness, it's getting darker. But we have Jesus, who is that light of the world. John 1:1-9, I'll read it. We obviously don't have the verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light of all mankind. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So preparing for this morning, that light and dark is mentioned so many times throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament. And then I think the biggest one is in John 8, where Jesus himself says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am the light of the world. So that is who Jesus is in this dark world. He is our hope. He stands there as a beacon, no matter what we're going through, and sharing this with the kids, no matter what is happening, and it's the same message for us. We have Christ. But that's not where it ends. He has brought us into that kingdom of light. He has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into this kingdom of light. When we put our faith in Christ, at what he did on the cross for us, we have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So Colossians 1:13-14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have been rescued. And when that happened, when we put our faith in him, that light that Jesus is, he put it in us. Because he goes on to say in Matthew that you are the light of the world. He's saying that to us. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. Turn to someone and say, "You are the light of the world." Come on. See, I'm still in VBS mode. Doing that stuff all week. Hear my voice, clap your hands once. Hear my voice, clap your hands twice. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are the light of the world. We are to let our light shine before others. One of the things, still on the Christmas theme, 103 days, in case you're wondering. No, I just pulled that out. I don't know what it is. But one of the things I love, I do not love decorating Christmas trees. Hard to believe it. I don't enjoy that. I love everything else. Everything else. But I don't love decorating. I'll get the tree, and I love doing the lights on the tree. I do. I like doing that. But then I'm like, option Aaron and the kids, you guys decorate it. But as I'm doing these lights, you have different ways to do it. You can do the wraparound method, or you can do the snake method, going straight down on one side. You know, you have different techniques. And what I do is I'll turn the lights out, and I'll look at the tree, and I'll look for those dark spots. Where does it need some lights? I need another strand right here. So where are these dark spots? So I ask you, where are the dark places in your life that God has strategically placed you? this light, to light up this darkness. We are the light of the world, and God has places in your life, your job, wherever it is, your neighborhood, your office, that God has placed you for that reason, to shine his light into that place. So where has God strategically placed you? And I look around this room, and I see so many different walks of life. We have so many teachers, teachers in private school, teachers in public school, businessmen, just all different areas. And I hear the stories. I hear the stories of this outreach, and it's just flowing from you. You know, we're just shining our light. It's just what we're doing. We're putting ourselves in those spots where there is some darkness, and for God to shine his light. Aaron and I, our dark spot is this world of cancer. That is where God has placed us, and we would not have chosen it. But this is the darkness that he has put us in. And we meet so many people that do not have the hope that we have. And they're some of them facing a lot worse things than us, and that don't have the hope that we have. And I see that purpose. And Aaron and I, we can say we saw that purpose from day one, that we saw purpose in that God is using us in this, with Cade and our family, to shine that light. A few years ago, we were driving out to over the hill, Chino, to visit one of Cade's chemo buddies named Cameron. He was 16 years old, and he had weeks to live. And we had seen Cameron at chemo and acupuncture and other things, and we had developed a relationship. He was such a great kid, so positive with Cade, loved him. And when we're driving up the hill in Chino, Lucy came too, four of us, and I just had a moment like, look where we are. Look where God is bringing us. This amazing family going through this unbelievably difficult time, and that we never would have met this family had it not been for what's happened with Cade and our lives being crossed. And here we are going over this hill to their home to shine some light, to just be with Cameron, be with the mom, the little sister, the grandparents. And it was just a moment where I was honored to do it. I was honored to be used by God in that. But that's for all of us. Where is that place? Where is that dark spot where God is using you? Where has he placed you? The neighborhood, that annoying coworker, that could be it. Who has he put in your life to shine light in? Who has he put in your life to shine God's light into? And that's all it is. I love that phrase. Just shine your light. Just let your light shine. We get so caught up in words and, hey, you know, we want to lead them to the Lord, and I want to quote scripture to them. I want to take my Bible and hit them over the head with it. Okay? No. Just shine your light. And there's a burden that's lifted when I think like that. Just go in there and love them. That's all. Just love them. Talk to them. Encourage them. And then out of that, those natural conversations happen, and we do quote scripture sometimes, but it's just, it takes that burden off. We're just letting our light shine. So wherever that dark place is, whoever is in your life, let your light shine. It could be, a difficult problem with this is that our flashlight is not very bright. I brought this one on Monday, and it just kind of died real quickly. And I just kind of put it in here. That was the end of it. Because the batteries are going. Batteries are just dying. So I like the phrase, we can't give away what we don't have. If that light isn't kindled in us, Kevin said this morning, maybe you've come here full. Maybe we've come here half empty. We've all been there. We've all had those times where we're just running on fumes. Our batteries need to be recharged. Maybe we're in that place. This is, everyone knows what this is, right? These are gold in our house. We must have 6 or 7 devices. A couple iPhones, a couple iPads, but yet, where are all of these things? Because they all come with one, right? Where do they go? I find this, I find this, but I need this. But I have a routine. I have a routine every night. I lock the windows, I lock the doors, I turn the lights out, make sure all the kids are tucked into bed, and then I plug everything in. Do you do it? This is Cade's, this is Lucy's, here's Aaron's phone, here's my phone. Because heaven forbid I enter tomorrow with a phone that is not charged. Cade came down this morning. He sat on the couch, he turned on his iPad, I heard him just go, ah. And I said, wait a second. Because I had already wrote this in. I go, Cade, why did you say ah? And he goes, because my iPad's 100%. I know the feeling. You know? We love that little 100% in the corner, the green. It's green. Then it's white. Uh-oh. Then it goes yellow, and then the dreaded red. But we would never dream of leaving the house without a fully charged device. But yet we will run out the door without giving God a second, without even thinking about that light and getting close with God. And I don't want to say recharging, but yeah. I mean, Jesus got up early every morning and went out to the hills. But I'll rip right out the door, and then I'll wonder why. You know, I get frustrated. I quick to lose my temper. And then I get caught off guard. You know, I have those, the Bible says, be ready in season and out of season. And next thing I know, I'm having this divine encounter with somebody that needs light. And I'm weak. And I know it. I know it. And I regret that. So I pray in those moments. And God is faithful. But we need to recharge that light. It does go dim at times. We do come half empty. I love the story of Moses on the mountain, the transfiguration in Exodus. When he came down from spending time with God, his face was radiant. It was glowing. They had to cover it. And then it would slowly dim. But spending time with God does that. One of the crafts that Jenny did this year, Jenny does all the crafts. She's doing it for 12 years. She's already got next year's lined up. But she comes up with these, you know, Pinterest, and finds these things. So one of the crafts this year were these cool lanterns with little glow-in-the-dark paint. Little jars, just jars, and she had little glow-in-the-dark paint. And Lucy last night said, oh, you know, I guess we have to do it, you know, in another place or when it's darker, because it wasn't really lighting up. So I said, Jenny, what the heck? No, I didn't. But I knew what the problem was. It's been sitting in the car. So I took that. I said, hold on, Lucy. And I climbed up on the ladder and the light, and I held it up to one of our can lights. And I just sat there for 2 minutes, turning it. I said, come with me. Went in the bathroom, shut the light, and boom, that thing was lit up because it soaks in the light. That's how glow-in-the-dark stuff works. I don't know what's in there. It's magic. But it soaks in the light. And then it glows, and she was amazed. She saw it. Well, it's the same thing. We need to sit with him. We need to just be with him and soak in his light. And when we walk out that door, we will have light to shine. But sometimes we choose darkness over light. Sometimes we consciously choose dark things. We make the wrong choice. John 3 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So we are a fallen race, and sometimes we choose sin. We choose darkness. Good news is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But that is a choice. There's a song by a band, DC Talk, and they have a song called In the Light. And that's a great song. I love this song. And I love the words of this song. So, Peter, hit it. No, I'm just kidding. It says, here are the words. I'm just going to read it. In the light, it says, I keep trying to find a life on my own apart from you. I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a savior. And then the chorus, I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation, because all I want is to be in the light. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. So maybe our prayer is, Lord, make me want to be in the light more. Change my heart so I want the light more than darkness. That's an honest, honest prayer. We help ourselves by walking in the light by the things we put into us. Charles Simpson did an analogy. He says, the software controls the hardware. The things we put on a computer when it's brand new is what's going to control that computer. It's the same thing with us. The things we put into ourselves. What shows do we watch? What music do we listen to? Who are your closest friends? What do you talk about? What do you joke about? When you are free to think about whatever you want to, where do your thoughts turn? Matthew 6 says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? We need to choose to walk in that light, to be in the light. So just to recap, Jesus is the light of the world. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. Because of that, what he has done, we are now his lights, the light of the world. He has strategically placed us where he wants us to shine his light. You can't give away what you don't have, so we need to spend time with him, recharging. And then what software are we uploading into our hearts so we can be that light of the world? The next question is, maybe our lights are growing, are glowing, and we've got it. We are walking in the Lord, and I feel God's presence, and I feel his light, but I spend time, my whole life is surrounded by only believers. We're avoiding those dark spots. You know, obviously we're not to be in the world or of the world, but we live here. So God wants us to go seek those places to shine that light in the darkness. And if everywhere we go, imagine everyone in this room holding a flashlight right now, or even right now here. This is what I was going to do. Here's my flashlight. It works, right? But is it necessary? I mean, is it really that impressive? You know, if I drop something, am I going to use my flashlight to look for it here? No, the room is filled with light. This is kind of silly right now, in this room filled with light. But can you guys get the lights, please? If Peter can get those. They're all going. So now it's a little different, isn't it? Now you see it. Now it's needed. You are in a dark spot, and that light shines. That light is a beacon to people that are in the dark and don't have it. They see it, and they are drawn to it. It's like a lighthouse in the dark. And because we are at, it is a war for souls. So this light that people see in the darkness is so important. I'm going to change it up a little bit, especially for the other guys. Right? This thing is pretty cool, but it is not cool with the lights on. It's not. It's just, oh, it's like a fluorescent blue light. But in the dark, I play with this thing for hours. You know? See, it's humming too. Here, listen. Right? All right, you can get the lights. So, are we in those dark places that we could be used, that where a light is shining? It's needed. It's needed. We want to be in those places where it's needed. Jamie Johnson, he would say, go out into all the world and make disciples, is what we say, but stay away from that kid across the street with the earring and drives a motorcycle. Stay away from that kid. You know, we shield our kids from the very places, from those very people, and obviously you gotta be wise, and I'm not saying put anyone in danger, but are we shielding ourselves from those very people that God wants you to shine that light into? So ask yourself, who and where, and to be out there where we are needed. Irenaeus, church father, am I pronouncing that right? Says, the glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. That is us with that light shining, fully charged, walking in the light, being used by God. And Satan knows, the enemy knows that he has lost us. If we have put our faith in Christ, he knows ultimately he has lost us to God. So what's his goal? Dim that light. Put that light out. Whatever that means. We get him focused on this. Get us focused over here. Believe the lies that he says about ourselves, that God doesn't love us or we're not good enough or whatever it is. He will do anything to dim that light, to put it out, so we're not used by God, to render us ineffective. Because when we are walking in that light, in that place, being used and in complete communion with the Father, he is afraid of you. He's afraid of you. So he'll do anything to keep us away from that. So, man fully alive, walking with the Father, that God would shine his light in and through us. Where does he want you to shine? Who has he put in your life to shine the light that he has given us to be that light of the world? One of the songs we did this week, very appropriate. It's a Sunday school song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Even when I'm afraid, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your light. God, we thank you that you are the light of the world, Jesus. Lord, help us to sit at your feet more. Help us to light the fire within us, God, by your Spirit, by your nearness, by your presence, by your Holy Spirit. God, that we would not walk out the door each day in our own strength and trying to do things ourselves, but that the first thing we would do is sit and pray and get with you. And Lord, that you would fill us with that Spirit, with that light, so that when we go out into this dark world, God, that you have placed us in, but that you have conquered, you are more than a conqueror, Lord, that you use us, and we are ready in season and out of season to be used by you. Help us to look for those encounters, for those people you've put in our life, those areas where you want us to shine that light, and Lord, that we would never hide it under a bushel, that we would never hide it, but we would let it shine as a city on a hill, that all giving light to all people. In your name, amen.